Albert Einstein once said, "I know not with what weapons World War III will be fought, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones." Keep this in mind as we discuss today the Russian president's declaration that Moscow was suspending in participation of the New START treaty between the United States and Russia.
Our sponsor for this show is Noble Gold.
My name is Dr. David Walaru.
And my name is Elizabeth Ann Stewart.
And you are watching Geopolitics in Conflict.
President Putin gave a televised address and he blamed the West for starting the conflict. He also announced Russia was suspending its participation in a nuclear treaty with the U.S.
Putin no longer doubts the strength of our coalition, but he still doubts our conviction. He doubts our continued support for Ukraine. He doubts whether NATO can remain unified. But there should be no doubt. Our support for Ukraine will not waver. God bless the heroes of Ukraine and all those who defend freedom around the world.
All right.
Well, so this is a pretty big deal, and I think that it's something that people have been very nervous about World War III for kind of a while.
Yeah. Well, first of all, majority of people do not even know what STARTs are.
Yes.
So it will make more sense for us to at least bring up some brief history about STARTs. START usually start with, it's a strategic arm reduction talk, which goes back to, actually it was a strategic arm limitation talks back in the 1970s. Then it switched to START, strategic arms reduction talks, after Ronald Reagan suggested there would be some amendments to this treaty, because he said back then, that it was enough talking about just a limited reduction. Mm-hmm. He said, how about a major reduction? That's why they switched it to START. Mm-hmm. It was START 1 and START 2. START 1 started back in 1982. I remember because I was watching the meeting.
Really?
This might shock you. I was a kid. I'm still a kid. I was watching the meeting between Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev. It was in Reykjavik, Iceland. It was in a small village house.
Yeah.
It was very incredible. Of course, it was for me at that time. But I knew even back then that this is of a significant. And why is that important? Just for you to know. It's because Europe during that time, remember, during the Cold War era, they were about 7,000 nuclear warheads on European soil.
You know, and it's amazing talking about these numbers, right? Because 7,000 nuclear warheads, how many would it take to obliterate everyone on this planet?
Not even
close to 7,000.
That's true. But this is where the START comes in. That's where the strategic arm reduction talks. Yeah. Because it was about cutting down. And I remember top of my head, there were some limitations, for example, to how many missiles that would be from land base. There will be how many nuclear missiles, of course, from submarines. And there will be specific numbers from both platforms, the wing and end wing. In other words, the flying ones and the one that will be launched from a base.
Yeah.
So both Soviet Union and later Russia and the United States came to an agreement. Because it was every year they will have to have inspection. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
No inspection was done in the last 3 years.
Noble Gold Investments is pleased to let you know that gold was the best investments class for 2022. Real estate, crypto, stocks, and bonds. Gold outperformed them all in 2022. Noble Gold Investments helped thousands of clients buy real physical gold. According to longtermtrends.net, gold outperformed the S&P 500, the Dow, and Bitcoin in 2022. Had you invested in the S&P 500 a year ago, you would be down more than 20%. If you invested in Bitcoin a year ago, you would be down more than 65%. If you invested in the Dow a year ago, you will be down almost 10%. Yes, gold has outperformed them all in 2022. And silver was not far behind. So what are you waiting for? Join the thousands of others by opening a gold IRA or a silver IRA with Noble Gold Investments. Invest with Noble Gold Investments before the end of this month and you will bag a free quarter ounce American Gold Eagle coin with every qualified IRA of $50,000 or more. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments and their thousands of five-star reviews. Call Noble Gold Investments today at 877-646-5347 for no pressure consultation, only conversation. Yes, that's 877-646-5347. If you are not ready to invest, download the Noble Gold Investments Guide. Scroll down below and you will find the link in the description box. For mobile users, click the More button to find the link. And remember, there is always a risk of investments and there is no guarantee of any kind.
Well, and my understanding of this is that Putin was basically said, no, you're not going to come in and inspect these.
No, that's it. This is, just to put this, if I put my geopolitical analyst hat, mm-hmm. to put this within the context of global security, but also on global affairs. Mm-hmm. This one now changes the equation, militarily speaking. Because remember, just FYI, Russia has more nuclear weapons than we do. Russia has over 6,500 something, like some... if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me.
Yeah.
6,993.
Well, it's almost 7,000. Almost 7,000.
The U.S. has about 5,992. Mm-hmm. And again, don't, because I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
It was give or take. The one thing that I am certain of, even my days in Washington, D.C., we were aware of the other 1,000 nuclear warheads that Russia had.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what makes this very challenging. From a security perspective. But I can see the reason why Russia will embark on this unexpected move. As a matter of fact, yesterday I had to read up on this just to see what think tanks in Washington are saying. And you know what they're saying?
Hmm.
They're saying that there is no suspension of work clause into the START agreement. U.S. attempt to understand Putin's move.
So that's very interesting. And can I ask you a question about this, right? Because, you know, if you're looking at it, so my specialty is human behavior. And if you're looking at this from a human behavioral standpoint, you know, there are so many nuclear warheads, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many in the world. It would only take a small handful that each country has to pretty much obliterate whatever target they want and pretty much obliterate the world, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're looking at it from the standpoint of there is an agreement, right?
Okay.
So Putin was always willing to enter into an agreement that this would be limited, an agreement that, you know, that we would not have nuclear war, more or less. And now, especially with what you just talked about with the think tank, is this really Putin saying, I'm not willing to take nuclear war off the table?
Well, actually, that's basically what the indication is because you look no further, and let's call spade a spade. This push for world war, who's behind it?
Well,
I mean, let's just be straightforward. I know there are those who's saying, and I keep saying this, there are those who's saying, well, you criticize America, whatever. But come on, you criticize America when it does wrong. And you need to speak up. So this is where the issue is. As a responsible citizen, you can't take a step back and sit and watch when you see in the whole world is on a cliff. It's going to be pushed into.
Right.
Because there is no, and I'll say it, nobody's going to survive.
Exactly.
If we get into this
exactly.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to survive. No. And, you know, and it's, you're right. It's not about criticizing America. It's about looking at, we're on the edge of a cliff right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot is happening in the world, especially, you know, we just had the Chinese delegate Wang Yi basically saying we are interested in having this alliance with Russia and we're willing to do this with Russia. And so that pushes this even further. And so that's, I think, why this is kind of such a scary deal that Putin basically pulled out of the START.
Yeah, but this one also has to do with how much the West, NATO, the West, and of course the weak Europe, or the old continent Europe, is pushing the narrative for, is not pushing the narrative, but is pushing the conflict to a next limit or next level. So Russia, I'm not surprised. Yeah. I argued in my book back then that it would be just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Because if the West keeps going or embark on that ambiguous policy, how can you tell the West, how can you tell Russia, you promised after 1991 that this disintegration of the Soviet Union, that you will not expand eastward one inch. And all of a sudden, you know, you look at it, 1991, that's where we started, 1997, 2002, 2004, and the expansions keep going eastward till Russia's doorsteps.
Yep.
The last one was with Georgia, and we all know the outcome. So back then I argued in my book that I will not be surprised that in a surprise move from to the West, the Russian president would just pull Russia out of the treaty. And here we are.
Let's take a quote from your book, because you did write about this.
Indeed.
So for those of you who don't know, David is an author, and he has published The Dynamics of Russia's Geopolitics. So I'm going to take a quote out of here, David. All right. The big concern now is the official death of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. Will other treaties be terminated? Most likely. The START Treaty, for example, is due to expire in 2021, which it was re-upped.
It was renewed until 2026.
It will free both the United States and Russia to arm and deploy medium-range missiles worldwide. Europe immediately comes to mind. Are the European people ready to be used as pawns in a war game led by United States hawks like Secretary of State Pompeo and the now-fired National Security Advisor Bolton? Let's be frank. Pompeo and Bolton are leading the United States off a dangerous cliff. The United States' withdrawal from both the Iran nuclear agreement and the INF treaty, driven by those hawks, raises serious concerns.
Yeah, that's how I saw it back then. Mm-hmm. And like I always say, I look out for the trend and see what are the possibilities. And that's what I saw coming.
Yeah.
It's because even back then when I was doing the research for the book, I was, of course, aware of what the U.S. was doing in 2014 in Ukraine.
Yeah.
So that's what prompted me to sort of be convinced about what I wrote, that I won't be surprised at all. That's why this happened. So, and here it is.
And here it is.
Yeah. But it's very concerning regarding the global security aspects of it, because this now is going to change the dynamics. Of course, you're going to be hearing from Western think tanks, mainly in Melbourne, mainly in London, Frankfurt, Paris to a degree, and Washington, that now, oh, this is because it's a desperation move from the Russian president. It is not. It is a strategic move from President Putin, because now the ball is in the West courts, because Russia, as a matter of fact, what the West did not report, is that Russia just tested Satan 2, which is an ICBM, just a few days ago before President Biden went to Ukraine. And again, that's the message right there.
Absolutely.
So understanding how things work in geopolitics, but this is significant, because now, basically, what all this means, besides global security and all that, there will be now no limitations as to what they can produce.
That's really the big thing.
Yeah. The U.S. is saying they're going to stick to the treaty. The Russia is saying they will stick to the treaty to a degree. But I just don't see. And given other dynamics that's taking place, for example, the upcoming visit of President Xi to Russia, because that's significant. Same thing I argued in a book, in one of the sections there, that what you're going to be seeing is you're going to be seeing Russia and China moving their partnership from just economic agreements into possibility, and I use the term in quote, possibility of a military alliance. Withdrawing from the START Treaty will pave the way for that military alliance between the two. Then you add to this as to what prompted the Russian president to do this is the recent trip by the NATO Secretary General to Asia. Why the heck are you going to Asia for? to foment more tensions. Mm-hmm. Once again, Western media is not reporting that as we speak, there is a proxy war in Philippines mm-hmm. between the U.S. and China.
That's a big problem. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's this kind of dynamics. An average citizen, it doesn't matter whether mm-hmm. he's in the U.S. or everywhere, they are not equipped academically to truly understand this, the kind of a dynamics.
Yeah.
Because this is where I see, where I disagree with some that just think geopolitics is all about just relations.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about, no. And that's again why I challenge those who kind of issue statements without understanding, without having mm-hmm. a grasp of what geopolitics is all about.
Yeah.
So I respect their opinions. They are entitled to say whatever. But if they are spewing nonsense, mm-hmm. I'm going to step forward and say you need to stop. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have a grasp, don't speak of something you don't understand very well.
Absolutely.
And that's where I see these challenges coming up. Now, the big question we need to ask is how will Europe translate this move right now?
That's a really great question. And so, you know, China, you brought up China a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And what their official position still is that they are completely neutral in the Ukraine conflict, mm-hmm. right? But for how long is that going to be the case? And you're absolutely right. You know, Europe seems to have bitten off more than it could chew in this situation.
Well, I'm going to add to this that China mm-hmm. is further dooming the European economy by reducing trade yep. with Europe. So Europe shuts itself in a foot to a point of no return. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, once again, it's not being reported openly in Western media. Mm-hmm. Did you know how much Germany lost since the beginning of the war or the conflict? $160 billion.
Yep.
So if you are a German citizen.
Yeah, if you're a German citizen, is that okay with you? Yeah.
And for us, it's the same argument.
It's the same argument.
Our president just yep. went to Ukraine and committed to another $500 million.
So I want to bring up something very interesting because I've brought this up before. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at Ukraine has stopped necessarily asking for arms, right? They stopped asking for arms. Mm-hmm. What did they start asking for? Money.
Money. Mm-hmm.
They started asking for more money. Why is that? And so you're looking at the American companies, specifically BlackRock. If you guys don't know what BlackRock is, check out some of the other videos on mm-hmm. YouTube about it. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at BlackRock just won the contract to rebuild Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Now that's interesting because the conflict's not over.
That's true.
However, BlackRock also owns a very large portion of what else? The arms companies in the United States that are giving arms to Ukraine.
Yeah.
So you have to dig a little bit deeper when you're looking at all of these geopolitical issues. Mm-hmm. One of the questions that we always ask is who benefits from these things?
That's true.
And so, you know, you're looking at the West, you're talking about what the West's position is and Europe specifically. Well, who's really influencing what's happening here?
Yeah.
Who's really influencing Zelensky? Who's really and like you said, if you're a German citizen, if you're a citizen of the EU at all and the US, the amount of money that's being funneled to Ukraine, is that okay with you?
That's true. I just tweeted this morning. I don't know if you follow me on Twitter or not, but you can check it out there. I just posted a statement from Forbes magazine. Mm-hmm. Forbes magazine is saying, according to a New York Times article, mm-hmm. that Ukraine is getting the best weapons from the world, which is a lie.
That's a lie.
It's a lie because the weapons, to my knowledge, mm-hmm. based on my contacts, have been sold in the black market a few months ago.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, some of the weapons the West sent to Ukraine, mm-hmm. you know where they end up? In Latin America and the borders between Venezuela and Colombia. Mm-hmm. Some of the other weapons end up in Africa. So it tells you it's basically a lie.
Yeah.
And just to go back to your point about why comedian Zelensky is asking for money, is because in a setting like this, and I used to work for the government, mm-hmm. so I was in overseas in different conflict zones, shall we say. When you ask for money like this, you will be able to hire militias. And what you do is you go to, for example, Latin America and hire militia from there. You go to Africa and hire militia. You go to Asia and hire, you know. As a matter of fact, as we speak, Afghanis who've been trained by the U.S., they're now in Afghanistan. Mm. But guess who paid them?
They're now in Ukraine?
Yeah, they're in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. But who paid them? It's the Russians.
Yeah.
They're now fighting on behalf of the Russians. Mm-hmm. Because for the higher bidder. Mm-hmm. You know, Russia's willing to pay money, they pay them. So.
And no one's talking about right?
No.
So everyone's just talking about, oh, well, here's the above board things that the governments are doing. But hiring militias, you know, I think that if people really knew that, I think they wouldn't be very happy about it.
Yeah, it's true. But at the same time, for us Americans, and I'll speak for us, I can't speak for the rest of the world, whatever part of the world you are watching this from. For us Americans, it's sad to say, and I use the song by what's his name? David Miller, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
It says, comfortably numb.
Comfortably numb, yeah.
Yes. So that's how comfortable... Mm-hmm. Some of us Americans have become to the truth and reality. Because now you can't distinguish this from that. Let alone if you don't possess the necessary knowledge and understanding.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a PhD for that.
Right.
You just have to look for what common sense.
Right.
And I give the example of the president's trip yesterday or the day before to Ukraine. You know, why the heck are you going to Ukraine when we got a chemical spill in Ohio,
Absolutely.
Which is a dangerous one?
And if you're looking at the message that that's giving to the American people, the message that that's giving to the American people overall is that Biden doesn't care about what's happening here. He cares about what's happening in Ukraine because he hasn't even gone to visit the spill. He hasn't addressed taking care of the spill at all, when that's a legitimate danger to all of us. Yeah. In fact, I saw a map the other day that looked at how far down into the country so they say, oh, you know, the water table, the water's fine, the water's fine, the water's fine.
No,
but that map looked how the water table is actually connected and how far down into the United States. It came all the way down into Louisiana.
Ooh.
Right? So that's not some tiny spill that's in a small place. That's something that affects almost half of the country, if not more than that. And so looking at the picture of that, it is, the message is, I don't care about the United States. I don't care about my people. What I care about is this war in Ukraine.
Let alone that the Biden administration refused to provide assistance to that
Absolutely.
County because it didn't vote Democrat. And this is where the danger is. When you start to associate political orientation with what the obligation of a government is, you know we are going on a slipping slope down. This is, it pains me as an American, it pains me to say this. And I'll say it because it's my country.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? No matter what, I criticize the U.S. government, but it's still my country.
Yeah.
We are at the beginning of the fall of the United States.
I think we're somewhere in the middle, but
yeah.
I agree with you completely.
It's because disintegration always happens from within.
Right.
And usually there are two indications to that,
mm-hmm.
at least based on my understanding of historical facts and trends.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is internal corruption within the highest level, which we have. Second one is a fractured foreign policy strategies on decisions.
Which we have. Yeah.
So that's to me how I see we are sort of going the wrong direction. And I wish Americans would wake up, but I just don't see it because it's gone too far.
It is.
It's gone
has.
Too far. Some of us are so comfortable to the point that saying, oh, nothing will ever change. So
it's already changing.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is, by the way, something we're going to address in our live stream.
Yes.
So assuming this video comes before we do live stream.
If not, check out next week's live stream.
Yes, we're going to do that.
But so. I want to bring this topic back to the forefront because, you know, the real fear is World War III. And the quote that you said is very appropriate because, you know, we keep thinking, oh, you know, no one is stupid or greedy enough to start World War III because in that circumstance, the whole planet loses.
For
Everyone
sure.
loses in that circumstance. Nuclear war every single person on this planet loses, and the planet loses big time. And so we think, oh, you know, clear heads, they're just never going to do it. They're never going to do it. Mm-hmm. But this is pushing a little close to that. We're pushing a little farther than I think we should. We're pushing a little too close to comfort. And whatever it is that the politicians are doing here, I think they're legitimately putting everyone at risk. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I understand what Putin says his motivations are for this.
Yeah.
But he loses too.
Well, yeah, this is collective loss for everybody. But you need to remember, Russia has more nuclear weapons than the U.S. I know there's that saying, why it only take one?
Right.
That doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. It's a conversation for another day, mm-hmm. how this stuff works with the nukes and all that stuff. But just one thing just for you to know as we speak now mm-hmm. is that the suspension does not mean the treaty is canceled.
Right.
Still
right.
hold in place till 2026.
Right.
What Russia said, what the Russian president mm-hmm. said, is that because the expiration is in 2026,
right.
Russia is not going to extend that one. Now, things could change, of course.
I hope they do.
Yeah. But the way how things are moving,
right.
I just don't see that emerging till you either replace all the leadership in the Western world, you know, because they are incompetent,
yes.
I'll say it. And there are those who say in the West that, well, maybe we have to take out the Russian president, which mm-hmm. would be a big, big mistake.
Yeah, that's a huge...
The reason being because Russia has already a plan in place.
Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do.
Till this happens, then you're going to see the conflict just being prolonged because there is a benefit into mm-hmm. prolonging it longer than it has to.
Well, and that's ultimately the point is, you know, we're a year into this.
Yeah.
How long did they predict that it was going to end when they first started?
Yeah, probably 3 months.
3 months? How about Afghanistan? How long did they say that was going to take?
Yeah. I don't know the exact year, but they didn't expect 20 years.
20 years.
Same with Iraq and so forth. But it's going to be very, very problematic. And this is also where, just for you to understand whether you are watching this from the U.S. or elsewhere, decisions in the United States are not made in the White House. The mm-hmm. president of the United States has no power. So despite what you hear, all this is nothing but just a bravado.
Yep.
It's because words tends to stir emotions
they
and so
do.
Forth. So when you say the leader of the free world, well, what free world are we talking about?
You know, I remember when I was a kid, we all used to say, I can do what I want. This is a free country.
Yeah.
I remember being a kid on the playground saying that. And then I remember at a certain point, nobody said that anymore.
That's right.
Like it just sort of went out of the collective way of speaking.
Yeah.
And I think right now, I don't know that anybody in this country really feels that free.
Not with the censorship that is going on. So, any final thoughts for this before we close it out?
Just that I think the foundation of politics really is theater, right? So we're looking at political theater. We're looking at people on both sides, on all sides, making strategic moves that they do or do not mean, right? That there's always something underneath what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so even in this case, there is a message, an underlying message to his people, to Putin's people, to the rest of the world and to the Western world, and always focus on what that message underneath is and not necessarily take things at face value, because it is all theater and there's always another reason than the reason that is being stated for
indeed,
doing things.
Indeed. Well, one thing for sure is that now this announcement is going to now change the calculations for many countries.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, for the nuclear ones, that will be different calculations than the one who are aspiring to acquire nuclear weapons, will make it even now more prevalent for them to emerge into that path. Because once you acquire the nuclear capability,
mm-hmm.
other countries will think twice before engaging you. So that's the bottom line to it, because you're going to see some changes coming down the pipe as far as global security landscape. So, well, we hope you find this very informative. And as always, prepare yourself for changing world order. Till next time, guys. Bye-bye.